If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. President Obama unveiled a highly anticipated plan today aimed at fighting climate change. The three-pronged proposal involves reducing U.S. carbon pollution, encouraging more domestic clean energy use, and urging other countries to lower their emissions. In a speech in Washington, Obama said part of his strategy will include continued subsidies to clean energy companies.
The plan I'm announcing today will help us double again our energy from wind and sun.
Critics of the president's plan say that it will cost thousands of jobs in the coal industry and will raise electricity bills for millions of individual Americans. One of those critics, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, said today that the plan will ship U.S. energy jobs overseas.
Basically, it's unilateral economic surrender.
Yet the plan is mainly comprised of executive actions that Obama can take without having to secure Congress's approval. The only thing Obama should worry about, according to analysts, are potential lawsuits against the EPA. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Women Patriots. I'm Brenda Ward, your host, along with my co-host, Barbara Buffing. We are here to discuss anything and everything. So if you're out there listening, you'd like to call in, our number tonight is 718-305-7176. We do have a very special guest, a constitutional lawyer, Publius Bolda, who will be on later to discuss the Fourth Amendment violations of this current administration. So you don't want to miss that. But some good news coming out of the Supreme Court. Yeah. And what's interesting about this good news coming out of the Supreme Court, that, you know, it shows deeply the media bias and the presidential bias and the racism on the part of the Attorney General and of the president, that they think this ruling is actually against civil rights and against black people. But basically, the Supreme Court said that they can no longer tell these states that they can't have voter ID. So in other words, these states wanting to protect the integrity of our elections, that our Department of Justice said they can't do it. They sued. And today the Supreme Court said, you've got to change the law because what your laws are wrong. And so these states will now be able to invoke voter ID, which is not racist in any sort of way, unless you want illegal immigrants to vote and you want multiple votes from the same person. There is no racism involved in providing an ID to vote. And that was ruled by the Supreme Court when the Indiana voter ID law went to the Supreme Court. And we do have voter ID here in Indiana, and we've had it for many, many years with no problems. And it's not racist. It's to protect the integrity of the elections here in the United States. But if you watch, if you look at, watch how the news is portraying this, you know, this is against blacks and this is against civil rights. Baloney. Another good one, they raised the bar for affirmative action in college admissions. The court ruled on Monday that they sent it back to the state. It was a case by Abigail Fisher, a white woman who applied to the university in 2008 and was denied and claimed that her constitutional rights and federal civil rights were violated because her race shouldn't play into the admissions. The court sided with the university, but the Supreme Court ruled that the lower court did not hold the university to the demanding burden of strict scrutiny, and instead presumed the school had acted in good faith. So it was favorable to Fisher. So that's a couple good things coming out of the Supreme Court. We still got some rulings coming yet, and they better get it right, I tell you. There is no such thing as sexual civil rights, which is what the gay people want, is sexual civil rights. You know, I'm sorry, but being gay is not the same thing as being black, Asian, or of a other nation, or white, or nationality. It's a sexual habit. And with that, I'm bringing on my co-host, Barbara. Hey, Barbara.
Well, hello, everyone, and Brenda, how are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. It's some beautiful summer weather going on here, so.
I know.
It's all good. So.
Well, you know, what you were just talking about, you know, the 1965 ruling, you know, we're in 2013, and there are several black conservatives that want to get rid of all these individual caucuses, such as the Black Caucus, the Chinese Caucus, because that divides them out.
Oh, absolutely.
And why these people don't see that is beyond me. They're not better than me. I'm not better than them. We're human beings. And it
Absolutely.
Really gets me crazy, because then, of course, you have the NAACP all over. I was kind of listening to C-SPAN, you know, and they're all basically crying, saying, oh, you know, this is bad for America. Why is it bad for America? And Attorney General Eric Holder, he said, oh, they're going to make real sure that things don't happen, you know, nothing happens, and I'm kind of paraphrasing. But all I could think of earlier was when he was saying that, oh, well, you haven't done anything about the Black Panthers stopping people from voting or walking them into the voting polls to make sure they vote Democrat. Come on, who the hell is this guy kidding? He ain't kidding me, and he's not kidding more than half the public.
And they haven't said anything about the Democratic operatives who locked out the Republican operatives on Election Day for an hour, why they did who knows what in the voting apparatuses. That was also, I believe, in Pennsylvania. You know, let's get some integrity here. And, you know, and stop favoring those of color over all Americans. And that's what they're doing. That's what they do with affirmative action. That's what they do, you know, when they don't prosecute the Black Panthers for intimidation at the voter blocks and say you can't have racism when it's blacks committing the crime. Well, that's just a bunch of nonsense.
People on TV, the Black Panthers, if you recall, they're putting a contract out on George Zimmerman's life.
Oh, yeah.
And yet they still walk free.
And they walk
really?
Free. Although one of them was arrested for doing something the other day.
Oh, well, that was the other day, and it had nothing to do with putting the contract out. I mean,
it had nothing to do with that, but he was walking around with a bulletproof vest on, so the cops stopped him, and he was carrying a gun in New York City, so they arrested him. Of course, they're trying to say, well, you stopped him illegally. Well, you know.
Speaking of New York City, Nanny Bloomberg is using taxpayer funds for his gun control campaign. He is using a government website for his campaign on war on guns.
Oh, wow. Well,
Yeah,
and did you see there's 46 senators in our lovely country of America trying to give over our Second Amendment rights to the United Nations. Every one of them was a Democrat in the Senate. So if you're listening out there, I know there's corruption on both sides of the aisle, but the Democrats mm-hmm. wanted to put the United Nations in control of the United States and our gun laws. Okay? They're not about the American or the United States or the people of America. It's all about power.
Yep.
And with that, our friendly local Republican spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? Get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger-flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Wednesday nights at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. But it's just amazing to me, you know, amazing to me, Barbara, how the left tries to divide. It's all about divide and conquer, divide and conquer. War on women, you know, African Americans. And just, I see it, but yes, and I loved it on Hannity when the black conservatives got on there and said, we're Americans. That's not divisive. If we're all in the interest of what is best for America as Americans, there's no divisive politics involved in that because it benefits us all, whether we're white, black, women, men, whoever, if it's the best policy for the American people, which we know is currently not happening in Washington, D.C. It's immigration bill. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I even want to get started with the amnesty they want to give to the criminals that broke the law to get here without securing the borders. Just amazing. And the Republicans are falling in line. Oh, well, they're going to give us this fence if we do this. Yeah, right. Do the fence first. That's what I say. Do the fence first. Go back to 1986, and we'll never get our security. Meanwhile, in Texas, the Texas abortion law would ban abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy and require abortion doctors to have visiting rights at nearby hospitals. The state is wanting to tighten regulations. Obviously, this is a smart move after we just had this huge trial of a Gosnell who was snipping the spinal cord of babies. But, of course, the mainstream media did not publish this. Well, Senator Wendy Davis, remember Texans, Senator Wendy Davis is going to try to speak nonstop for 13 hours without bathroom breaks or leaning on anything to try to halt the passage of this bill. So, for those of you in Texas, let's get her out of there. Let's get her done.
Okay. I hope not for nothing, but I hope she gets her period that week.
No, she's doing it right now as we speak.
Oh, so, is she?
Yeah. Yep. So.
I guess she wants a day for herself. You know, I don't get it. I really don't get these people. They want control, I know.
It's not just about control, too, but they have warped their minds into believing that babies are not babies. And
right.
yet, they are. And when,
but
when
meanwhile,
you when what species, Barbara? What species kills their babies in the womb?
None that I know of. And you know the other thing too is
human.
If somebody is even 3 months, 4 months pregnant, and if somebody kills the mother, and there's a baby, that's a double murder.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
why is a person going to get charged with a crime for a double murder if the baby's in the womb? Whether you know, it doesn't
right.
make sense.
And we're talking 20 weeks. We're talking 5 months pregnant. Now
right.
you know I'm against abortion. Period. Because you know these are babies. These are children. If you don't want them, either abstain from sex or practice measures to prevent the baby from occurring. Because despite what their argument is, very rarely do you get an abortion after a rape or incest. Okay, so that's just their emotional argument. But I'm going to come back with this. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, The Beauty and the Brain, on conservativenationradio.org. It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him in the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa! Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And you're back with Women Patriots. I'm Brenda Ward and my co-host Barbara Buffing. The number to call is 718-305-7176. We do have a special guest coming to talk about the Fourth Amendment, so you'll want to be sure and stay tuned for that conversation. And that all goes with the whistleblowers. Before the break, we were just talking about this Texas Democrat woman who's trying to filibuster this law that would ban abortions after 20 weeks. And, they have the morning after pill now. So if you get raped or the victim of incest, go, take one of those pills. You're done. Okay. There's no way at 20 weeks we should be looking at trying to abort a baby unless, indeed, it was truly a matter of life or death for the mother, which would be done at a hospital. Well, see, the problem here is that all your abortion clinics, the doctors aren't associated with a hospital. So the patients aren't getting the top care. This is actually very bad for women because they don't have privileges at the hospital. If something goes wrong, the woman's going to go to the hospital. They're not going to have any idea what's going on or what these people did to her at these clinics, okay? Well, in Texas, they can't find the hospitals won't give privileges to doctors who do abortions. Now, they're saying that it's because of religious reasons or they don't want to have protests, but I wonder if that's truly the reality. Or maybe it's that most doctors know that it's a human living being and don't want to participate in such a sick act. But anyway, Barbara, your thoughts.
My thoughts, let's see.
Yeah. I just threw you on the spot there.
Yeah, you kind of did because I was in the middle of typing.
Okay, got you on that one. Anybody with any thoughts, give us a call, 718-305-7176.
Yes, I was welcoming Alicia. I'm glad she found us.
Okay, yes, that's very good. And then I'm just really sick of them trying to, make this about a war on woman. It's a woman's natural way for a woman to be pregnant and carry to term the next generation of Americans. That's natural. And what the Democrats promote is an unnatural state for women.
Go ahead.
Did you hear what Chelsea Clinton said?
No, I didn't. What did she say?
Oh, my God. She was at one of her little, snobby, snooty little whatever with women, and she had said her grandmother, her great-grandmother, I think it was, had and grandfather, they were 13 when she got pregnant, and if they had Planned Parenthood back then, you know, and that's all I had heard. I didn't listen to anything after that, but
no, they would have still had the baby because people got married at that age back then. Because
yes,
you didn't live that long.
Yeah,
you only lived into your 50s.
But is she trying to say, well, my mother wouldn't have been born, therefore I wouldn't have been born?
I mean,
the world would have been a happier place. But
the world would have been a better place, would it not?
Yes.
You know,
I didn't say that out loud.
I know, but back in the day, people got married at young ages because they didn't live as long because, number one, we didn't have antibiotics. We didn't know about tuberculosis and how to treat it. You know, we didn't have all these, and I know some people don't like immunizations, but you had polio and all kinds of diseases, smallpox, different things that were killing people. And the average lifespan for people was very short. And they got married when they were young, and they had a lot of babies because babies didn't survive, a lot of them, you know. That was actually my dad's sister got married when she wanted to get married. She got married when she was 14, you know. So I don't know what she was trying to say either. I didn't hear the speech. But she's saying the world would be a better place without her and her mother.
Well,
I don't know.
Definitely her mother and father,
oh,
too,
I guess. Yeah. Yeah, because we know what a great job she did with foreign policy and how well-respected Obama is around the world.
Yeah, right. I don't think so. That
and
who said that? They lied, too. They're laughing at us. They're laughing at us. I heard that Putin had said that he wasn't giving us Snowden.
No,
they're laughing at us. We're laughing. We're laughing back.
You show the weakness, and they step in and they take advantage. It doesn't work like all these peaceniks think it does. You know, you have peace through strength. Peace through strength. That's the only way you're going to have peace. Because now they think we're ripe pickings, and we are. We are. And now, you know, this mess in Syria, now we're thinking about getting involved. You're going to start World War III with Russia on one side and us on the other side. You know, what? This administration is so incompetent and so anti-American and so detrimental to our country. We're just going to have to hope that we survive another 4 years. I just, you know, sometimes I wonder. And now he's going to go after coal even harder, and our bills are going to go up higher, and we're not making as much money. And, yeah, because, you know, we've had this great, great recovery from this recession. I don't see it.
No, you know, and then I read somewhere – in this bill, that if an employer hires somebody and doesn't offer health care, they get a fine. But if they hire an illegal immigrant, they don't have to offer health care and they will not get a fine.
Well, yeah, they can't offer health care because illegals can't be covered under it. Yeah.
So you'll
be penalized. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Just ask backwards. This administration is ass backwards.
Oh,
They're fighting for America, not against them. And
right,
that's exactly what this administration is doing. They're fighting against us. And here's another theory that I have. With the NSA listening in, oh, hi, Eric and friends, by the way.
Hey, Janet. Nice to talk
you
to
all,
you.
Yeah, you all suck.
Hope you're having
you
a good
me?
Night up there in Washington.
You all suck. But I can bet you, Dal, I don't know for a fact, this is just my opinion, is that they're listening to everybody's conversation, so all those traitors, they have something on all those traitors. But you know what? The truth sets you free. If you let the skeletons out of the closet, you have nothing to hide behind. And if they're going to threaten you with something, you say, oh, well, it's not a threat anymore because the skeleton's out of my closet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
okay.
And I can bet you dollars to donuts that's what it is. Because they don't turn just like that. Senator Mike Lee, I was so surprised he didn't vote yesterday.
Hmm.
It's like, why
yeah.
not?
Yeah, and it's crazy. But here's another top Supreme Court ruling that is a victory for property rights owner. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled on Tuesday that governments may owe compensation to property owners who are denied permits to develop their land. Yay. The court sided with Coy Coons, a Florida man who said limits imposed by the St. John's River Water Management District on how he used his land was taken subject to compensation under the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Awesome. We're getting some good
uh-huh.
stuff coming down. Let's hope we keep on this roll. You know, the major one coming up, it better be the right one.
Well, you know, I'm really hoping that the judges are looking at the Constitution and the amendments and just say, hey, you guys have nothing on me now, so they're going, you know, they're
yeah.
going by the law of the land. Because last I heard, Obama has a 51% disapproval.
Oh.
So we've got the majority
hey.
Now.
And that was polling. that was polling a majority of Democrats. And more independents and Democrats than Republicans. So that number is probably much larger than that. I read the numbers they polled, and there was like 100 more Democrats polled than there were Republicans, and then the other scope of people was independent. So that number is actually higher than what they're
well,
saying.
Yeah.
So,
good.
Yeah, that's a good thing, but you won't hear that from the news media, because once again,
of course.
They're trying to drive the narrative, which is, you know, conservatives are hateful, Republicans are crazy, they're racist, and blah, 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 and we're not for the little man, when actually we're for every man and every woman out there, including the unborn. So, conservativenationradio.org. Go ahead, Barbara.
No, go ahead. Read what you got to read, and then I'll get
okay.
to this.
ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques, outstanding member services, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. Protect your identity with LifeLock. Go to conservativenationradio.org and click on that LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions. The scope may vary. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner.
Hi, this is Frank Beard of ZZ Top for Rad. If you're out partying and drinking, and we all know that happens sometimes, please don't get behind the wheel. Give up the keys to a designated driver. Please don't drink and drive.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
And you're back with Women Patriots. The number to call is 718-305-7176. We are expecting Publius Holda to be joining us to talk about the Fourth Amendment, the Constitution, the NSA, and this whole thing with Snowden and what's been going on with the government seizing records. And Barbara, now tell us what you got to say.
Well, actually, I just saw this article. Arizona voters move to recall Flake and McCain. It's payback time. This is out of the the D.C. Clothesline airing out America's Dirty Laundry. It says a new website is calling for a grassroots effort to recall Arizona Senators Jeff Flake and John McCain. The recall petitions are based firmly on the grounds of the senators' support of the immigration reform, and that's crossed out, amnesty bill. The two gang of eight senators have chosen to turn their backs on those who voted them into office, and it is high time that Arizona gets their payback on those two rhino senators. The website, senatorflake.com, is very simple. They are not begging for donations and do not appear to be in data harvesting business. They appear to be an individual group of citizens who have simply had enough and are looking for action. And in Arizona's Constitution, Article 8, Section 1 states, every public officer in the state of Arizona holding an elective office, either by election or appointment, is subject to recall from such office by the qualified electors of the electoral district from which candidates are elected to such office. Such electoral district may include the whole state. Such numbers of said electors as such equal 25% of the number of votes cast at the last preceding general election for all the candidates, and the office held by such officer may, by petition, which shall be known as a recall petition, demand his recall. Wow. Then the site originally started with the singular goal to recall Jeff Flake, but due to popular demand, they decided to add John McCain to their hit list. The site features this YouTube video, which clearly shows the complete turnaround McCain has done on immigration reform, complete and danged fence. Those are John McCain's exact words. Complete the dang fence.
Hmm.
Wow.
Interesting. Well, and as well it should be. And we have a caller. And let's see who this is.
This is
Hello?
Publius Holda.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yes.
How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you. Thank you so much
good.
For inviting me.
Oh, okay. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. We are so glad to have you. And there's so much going on that all the insight and all the information we can push out there for people to use is going to be beneficial.
Yes.
So.
Wow, my studio is not working.
Okay.
Oh,
you're going to ask me about the federal government seizure of our internet and phone records?
Oh,
yes.
Absolutely. We want to talk about that because, yeah, wow.
Yes, so, because you are a constitutional scholar, we knew that you would be the best to let our audience know who all the unconstitutional acts that are currently taking place, even with the Patriot Act, there's still a lot of illegal information going on. So if you would be so kind as to let our audience know what's going on?
Oh, well, that's very broad. practically everything they do is unconstitutional. Did you want to talk about the federal government seizure of the internet and phone records?
Well, yes.
We want to know how we stand
grounds,
on that. Yes.
Yeah, the two grounds in the Constitution and how it violates the Fourth Amendment.
Do your listeners know basically what's going on, or should I briefly summarize the best information we have as to what is going on? Why don't I just briefly summarize it?
Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
It appears that the National Security Agency is collecting telephone records of the customers of Verizon Wireless. FreedomWorks reported that a top-secret court order forced Verizon to hand over the records of private citizens. Now, the first thing is this. There is not supposed to be anything such as top-secret court orders in this country. That is an outrage. The judicial system in this country is supposed to be public, so that the public can scrutinize what's going on. But the unconstitutional surveillance apparently covers all internet transactions. The Guardian paper from England reports that using a program known as PRISM, the National Security Agency has obtained direct access to the systems of Google, Facebook, Apple, AOL, YouTube, Microsoft, Yahoo, Facebook, Skype, PaulTalk, etc., etc. So apparently the NSA is collecting the search history, the content of emails, file transfers, live chats, and everything else which we the people do online.
Right.
Now, that is outrageously unconstitutional on two grounds. But before I explain the two reasons it's unconstitutional, we need to review the true relation between the federal government and us. It is not our master. The first three words of the Constitution are, we the people. We the people created the federal government when we ratified the Constitution. We are the creator. The federal government is merely our creature. As such, it may lawfully do only what we specifically authorized it to do and actually listed in the Constitution. The powers we listed in the Constitution are the enumerated powers. And most of the powers we delegated to the federal government over the country at large are listed at Article 1, Section 8. And if you read it, and I beg everybody who's listening to read it, you will find it's a very short list. When the federal government exercises powers not listed in the Constitution, they usurp powers. Usurped powers are illegitimate and unconstitutional. So that's the first reason this spying is unconstitutional. We never delegated to the federal government power to snoop and spy on us and conduct blanket searches of our records and effects. So, since spying on the American people is not one of the enumerated powers listed in our Constitution, it is unconstitutional as outside the scope of the powers delegated to the federal government. And that's the first ground. If you look at the list at Article 1, Section 8, the federal government has authority to do for the country at large only such things as war, national defense, make treaties, but only on objects authorized by the Constitution, domestically, weights and measures, patents and copyrights, a money system based on gold and silver, bankruptcy laws, mail delivery, road building, and stuff like that. If it's not listed, they can't do it. Well, massive blanket surveillance of the American people is not listed. We never gave them the power to do that, so it's unconstitutional on that ground. The second ground that it's unconstitutional is this. It violates the Fourth Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
The Fourth Amendment specifically forbids the federal government from rummaging through your papers and records unless it first gets a search warrant supported by sworn testimony and probable cause to believe that you have committed a specific crime. And the warrants have to specifically identify what items they're looking for and where they want to look. The purpose of the Fourth Amendment was to make it clear that the federal government couldn't do what the monarchs of England did, go around conducting blanket searches of people's papers and effects to look for anything which could be used against them. So the Fourth Amendment specifically forbids what the federal government is doing.
And I have a question. What about
mm-hmm.
from the in the Bush years after 9/11, the Patriot Act?
Well, apparently this sort of spying started it's been going on over 10 years, it appears.
Right. That's exactly what I had understood it to be. And with everything going on, this is my take, and I don't.
Yeah.
I mentioned this earlier, that the government, Valerie Jarrett, Obama, the DOJ, everybody up there, have something
yeah.
on all these Republican senators now, that and they're turning on us to save their own face.
That may be. Yeah, that may be. I just don't have any facts, to prove that one way or the other. But I have scratched my head wondering why they're doing this. I can't believe that anybody is so stupid that they would go along with what the administration is doing. But then I can't believe that anybody is so wicked that he would go along with what the administration is doing. So maybe they're just being blackmailed. In which case, they're shameless cowards.
Yes.
Because when you do something wrong and you're being blackmailed for it, the manly thing to do is to stand up, call a press conference and confess and say you're sorry.
Exactly.
And then describe the blackmail.
The truth sets you free.
Yes. For example, if any of those Republican congressmen and senators are being blackmailed, they should call a press conference, explain what they're being threatened with, explain what they are being ordered to do to stop the disclosure of this embarrassing information, identify mm-hmm. specifically who ordered them to do it, what threats were made, or what bribes were offered, and proudly announce they're standing up for our Constitution, and they're refusing to submit to such lawlessness. That is what manly men and womanly women do. They don't
right.
cave in to blackmail, threats, or bribes. Oh,
and,
it's steaming.
Oh, I know.
Go ahead. But what do you have to say? Because, you know, their excuse is that this is for national security. What
well.
Answer do we have for that?
Oh, yes. Tyrants always use that excuse. During the Cold War, the East Germans said that the communists in East Germany set up the Stasi. That was the East German Ministry for State Security. The Stasi had a widespread surveillance and informants network in East Germany over its people. And the excuse, national security. the KGB and the former Soviet Union. The KGB is the acronym for the Russian words, which mean Committee for State Security. So tyrants always use security as their excuse.
But you know,
the federal government refuses to take the steps our Constitution authorizes it to take to protect our national security. The federal government is supposed to protect our national security by, among other things, protecting us from invasion. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution requires the federal government to protect us from invasion. Well, how do you do that? You build a border fence. That's one way to protect us from invasion. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 15 authorizes Congress to call forth the militia, that's the armed citizenry, to repel invasions.
Mm-hmm.
Article 1, Section 9, Clause 1 authorizes Congress to control immigration. They refuse to control the borders. They refuse to control immigration. Our national security is threatened by the invasions of La Raza Mexicans and Islamists. Our immigration policy should keep these people out, deport those who are already here. But the federal government refuses to do it. Instead, they're setting up a Stasi-type surveillance network over all of us and claiming national security as their excuse. Well, it's a lie.
Right. My thing,
absolutely.
Too.
Go ahead,
yeah,
Barbara.
With what you were just saying, Publius, is, you know, here we are. They're claiming they're doing this for national security reasons, but yet they're leaving the borders open and they're allowing everyone who wants to come in to come in. But
right.
They're not. Where's the national security there? Now, they also, the administration thinks that all these people are going to pay all this money and all these fines. I don't know what they're smoking up there, but it's certainly not reality.
Oh, yeah. I think all the studies show that the Mexicans consume, I think, three times as much in welfare benefits as they would pay in taxes.
Right, and now if somebody, just like now, you know, and we would be horrible people if we did this. You know, if somebody's here in this country illegally and they get ill and they're not going to get medical care, come on, we're going to leave them on the street to die? Really? Come on,
well,
you know, and...
No, they get medical care. That's what's burdening our tax system,
well,
is that we have so many non-paying individuals,
right.
I mean, even not just illegals, but we also have refugees who have no insurance that we have to absorb into our medical costs.
I understand that, but I'm saying if they pass this immigration bill.
True.
Yeah.
No, we're still going to treat them.
Right, exactly, because we're not inhumane, where we're not going to, because in this immigration bill, they said in there, well, Marco Rubio said that they weren't going to have any kind of medical. They'd have to pay for it themselves. But,
yeah,
but really?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. That's. I'm sorry. That I kind of got off topic a little bit on that, Publius. I apologize for that.
Oh, no, Marco
but,
Rubio probably did say that. There doesn't seem to be any lie he isn't willing to say about this immigration.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Absolutely. So what can we as our listeners and we as the American people, what do we do? I know, you know, Barbara was reading about how they're doing this recall on Senator McCain, and,
yes,
you know, they're doing this in various places. But what can we as the people do?
Well, nullification is my favorite word these days. If the private companies, the private internet companies who are cowering down before the federal government and turning over the records of our private transactions had morals and a spine, they would refuse to comply.
Mm-hmm.
They would nullify the unconstitutional requests or demands of the federal government by refusing to turn over the records without a proper warrant for each individual person whose records they released. That's what the Fourth Amendment says. Now, you know, many of us took an oath at various times in our lives to support the Constitution. Once you take that oath, I don't think you're ever released from that oath. You have to support the Constitution. And when you are ordered to do unconstitutional things, you are morally obligated to refuse to comply. So the most obvious thing is that these private companies should just say, go get a warrant, and then I'll give you the records of each individual person for whom you have a warrant. Our framers expected us to be, and I'm going to quote Alexander Hamilton, a people enlightened enough to distinguish between a legal exercise and an illegal usurpation of authority. Alexander Hamilton said that in Federalist Paper number 16 at the next to the last paragraph. And he expected us to have the spine to act on that knowledge.
If they're getting threatened, like, you know, we'll put you out of business if you don't comply with this secret from FISA court order, then we'll put you out of business. So there's a lot of people that really that don't know the Constitution well enough to say, oh, okay, you know, here's the stuff. They don't know it well enough to say, to fight City Hall, basically.
Well, you know, in the Bible it says, die for lack of knowledge, or something like that. That's what's happening to us. Ignorance is killing us.
Yes, yes.
But about the threats, the American people need to understand what the surveillance state is like. I did have the opportunity to spend some years in Eastern Europe during the Cold War, and I have seen the surveillance state and communism firsthand. There is a German movie, The Lives of Others, which is set in East Berlin during the 1980s under the Stasi and shows what life is like in the surveillance state in a communist country. That movie is very accurate in depicting what life was like in East Germany at that time, although I was there some years before that. Americans need to watch that movie, The Lives of Others. They need to understand that being put out of business is a cakewalk in comparison to living in a communist country under the surveillance state. Americans have no idea what is ahead for them and what Obama and the rhinos are setting up over us right now. This is where we have to take a stand.
Well, unfortunately, the people that we voted into office said that they were going to do what they could and stop it and follow the Constitution. So we cannot even rely on Congress at all.
No.
Congress, senators, anybody that we put in office, we cannot rely on them. What other options at this point in time besides all these signing about four or five petitions every day and nothing's getting done with that either. So,
well, Rand Paul is talking about filing a lawsuit, but our federal courts are corrupt and have been, in large part, the cause of the destruction of this country. So I don't expect any justice from the federal courts. The Supreme Court proves this with almost every opinion it issues, that mm-hmm. we cannot expect justice from the federal courts. Rand Paul has also introduced a bill, the Fourth Amendment Restoration Act of 2013, which he says would stop the National Security Agency from spying on citizens of the United States. But it won't, because the Constitution already prohibits the federal government from seizing our personal records without a search warrant, which meets the requirements of the Fourth Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the federal government ignores the Constitution, so why would they obey an act of Congress? One thing that might work is this. As citizens in the marketplace, we can vote against those who cower down to the federal government, and we can take our business elsewhere. There are one or two internet search engines which do not keep track of what you do, they say they don't keep track of what you do, and they promise they won't turn it over. I started using IX Quick, which is a Dutch firm, and they promise they won't turn anything over. They say they don't keep records. There are also email providers who promise security. So we, the people, must punish the internet giants who sell us out and reward those who promise to protect us. But
okay.
The downside is that somebody told me that NSA can still get the info via Skynet or some such. I just don't know. Technically, that is way over my head, so I just don't know. Finally,
right.
Our framers counseled resistance to unconstitutional acts of the federal government. I'm not going to go into detail about what our framers said, but I ask everyone listening to read the last half of Federalist Paper number 46, written by James Madison. Now, you know, James Madison is the father of our Constitution, the fourth president of the United States, the author of a great many of the Federalist Papers. And he gives very good advice on what we the people must do in times such as this. Alexander Hamilton also tells us what we the people must do when the federal government betrays their constituents. Hamilton says, "We the people have no recourse but to exert that original right of self-defense against the usurpations of the national rulers." Read the last five paragraphs of Federalist Paper number 28. Our framers told us what to do when the federal government gets out of line.
Okay. I have to go back and read those.
Oh, yes. They're very important.
There's been so much going on. I'm lucky I have time to read everything that I get online. So, yeah, okay.
I know, but those two, those are our framers and founding fathers. And
right.
they foresaw that this might happen when the federal government would just get way out of line.
Right.
Well, they came from a place where the government was basically controlled everything, and the people didn't have true freedom, you know.
Right.
And so they knew. They knew, and they tried to warn us.
Well, even from back then, there was the infighting that was going on that could have led to this. That's why they foresaw it. or however the word is supposed to be. I don't know if foresaw it is a word, but...
Well, our framers were so wise. They, in reading the Federalist Papers, I see that they understood the civil governments in ancient Rome, ancient Greece, all throughout human history. They were cognizant and understood the various forms of civil government, what the strengths were and what the weaknesses were, and they drew upon all of this wisdom when they gathered in 1787 and drafted our federal constitution. It really was a 5,000-year miracle.
Right.
Our constitution.
Right. Now, also, if you don't mind, I wanted to bring up real quick about the 14-year-old Jared Markham, who was wearing a pro-NRA T-shirt.
Yeah.
And he was thrown out of the school, and now he's facing jail time because he was wearing an NRA shirt, and he said that he was he had his right to wear the shirt, freedom of speech. So now yes. They're arresting him, and he's going to court for all this, and they were trying to get an emergency gag order against him from talking to anybody. Now, see, this is, again, the government, even in a state, overstepping their boundaries.
Yes. I haven't read about this case, so I don't know anything about it except what you just told me. But, of
right.
course, that is an outrage.
Yeah, I'm
you
sorry,
know,
I didn't throw you for a loop.
No, it's okay. No, you didn't throw me for a loop. It's an outrage.
Yeah, and this is again, so I'm going to definitely this evening after we're finished and I have to do around my house, I'm going to go back and grab those Federalist Papers because, like I said, I've read them before. And I do pick them up every now and again, but obviously I have to read them again because we are at our last resort at this point in time.
Yes.
With this government.
Yes.
If anybody has any questions or comments, please give us a call here at 718-305-7176. And we are, again, we have Publius Holder, who is a constitutional scholar, and she's the woman. She helps us a lot. And she also has WordPress. You could find a lot of information at publiusholder.wordpress.com. And
yes.
That's her blog, and she's got fantastic information. And you actually, there's a few videos up there where you see her in action. telling the Supreme Court judges where it's at. Because, and I just love your strength and knowledge, because knowledge is definitely power.
Oh, yes.
And you've got the power to stand up to the Supreme Court and say that the Constitution is not, what did you say, is not your what the Constitution says is not your interpretation, and I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, it has an objective meaning, and the Federalist Papers are the most authoritative commentary we have on the original meaning of the Constitution. And for a long time, federal judges acknowledged the Federalist Papers as authoritative. But about 100 years ago, one very despicable man, one Charles Evans Hughes, who later became Supreme Court Chief Justice, said, "The Constitution means what the judges say it means."
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the shift? We moved from an objective standard to a subjective standard. So today, the Constitution, quote, means, end quote, whatever five judges on the Supreme Court say it means. And they just enact their own personal opinions and views into their decisions.
So whatever they say is what goes, and we're screwed. Now, as for...
Well, except we can nullify it.
It takes an act of Congress for that, though, doesn't it?
No. Oh, no. Our framers, Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, recognized the nullification as a natural right of self-defense possessed by the states. And when the federal government, any branch of the federal government, does anything unconstitutional, when they order us to do something they have no authority to order us to do, or when they tell us to stop doing something they have no authority to tell us to do, the states can nullify it, and they just say, we're not going to comply. For example, in 1962, the Supreme Court said, you can't have any more prayer in the public schools. And the state said, okay, and they stopped. Well, it's a little more detailed than that. In the case in 1962, the prayer was written by somebody in the state school, the State Department of Education. And the Supreme Court said, to have school children recite a prayer written by somebody in the government constitutes an establishment of religion. Mm-hmm. That's technically what they said. Mm-hmm. But that was unconstitutional. The First Amendment says Congress can't make any laws prohibiting the free exercise of religion. The First Amendment restricts only Congress. It never restricted the states. The states can do whatever they want with respect to religion. So the federal government had no authority to tell the states what they could and couldn't do in the area of religion. That's not one of the enumerated powers. And furthermore, the states retained powers over religion. So when the Supreme Court started restricting the state's rights to have whatever prayers they wanted in the public schools, the Supreme Court acted unlawfully and unconstitutionally, and the state should have just said, we're not going to comply.
Wow.
But somewhere in our history, we lost our backbone, we lost our guts, we lost our manliness, we lost our womanliness. Weak and passive, cowards, wusses, and wimps.
In the name of political correctness.
Yeah, or just cowardice.
Yeah, because everybody wanted, you know, we all ended up being politically correct and not saying Merry Christmas or because it might offend those who don't celebrate Christmas, but you know what?
Right.
I don't celebrate Kwanzaa, but I'm not going to deny you or anyone else from celebrating Kwanzaa.
Right.
And it really irks my last nerve when people don't like me celebrating Christmas. How dare they?
It's
none of their business to begin with. I'm sorry, well, I start going off on a tangent.
No, it's okay. Well, I think the whole purpose is to eradicate Christianity from the public square. And
yes.
It really started in 1962 with that Supreme Court decision. And by the way, that the majority opinion in that case was written by Hugo Black, who was a former Ku Klux Klansman.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Oh, yes. Justice Hugo Black, former member of the Ku Klux Klan, appointed by FDR. He was FDR's first appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Wow. Very interesting.
Yes.
And the things we need to know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Knowledge is power, because you could stand up and say, hey, this is this and that's that. And I actually did that, I don't know, a couple months ago. One of the people that I work with was arguing me with something about the president, and I gave him my pocket constitution. I said, read this. This is the job of the president. And they were shocked. There was a couple people that were shocked.
Yeah, the president has very limited powers. Basically, the president's job is to do what Congress tells him to do if the acts of Congress are constitutional. And then with respect to war, Congress is the one which has the constitutional authority to declare war. Congress determines the funding for the military. Congress determines the rules and for the discipline of the military. All the president is commander-in-chief. Well, the Federalist Papers tell us that commander-in-chief is nothing more than being head general, head admiral.
Right.
But Congress calls the shots. So the president's powers are very limited.
Yes, and actually, if you go back and read some of the first addresses to Congress from, like, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, you see that they're actually, oh, and we just lost Huldah. Publius Huldah, and yeah, just dropped. Unfortunately, hopefully she'll call back in. But we see that in the first presidential addresses, where they were asking Congress if by your measure, or here's what you know I expected. But let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcs4automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Okay, you're back listening to Women Patriots. The number to call is 718-305-7176. And we do have Publius Huldah back. We lost her for a minute. So if you have any questions for her while we have her, go ahead and give us a call. She is a constitutional lawyer, a constitutional scholar, and knows a vast amount about the Federalist Papers, which every American should be actually made to read.
I don't even think they do that in high school anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And they don't do it in law school either. I never heard the Federalist Papers mentioned in law school, and that was a very long time ago.
And isn't
wow.
that something? Because that's the very foundation on which, you know, our whole Constitution was based, you know, was through
yes,
the Federalist Papers. So
and I have heard that you can get a Ph.D. in government
mm-hmm.
without reading the Federalist Papers.
Wow.
Well, no wonder why
yes.
we have half-wits up there.
Right, right. And the law schools are indoctrination centers. Students are indoctrinated into the view that the Constitution literally means whatever the Supreme Court says it means. The
oh,
Supreme
wow.
Court is God in the law schools, not the Constitution, but 5 judges on the Supreme Court.
Wow.
That's
yeah,
scary. Wow is right.
That's a little scary. because that's not what it says, you know.
Oh, no. Wow. I know, but that's what the law students are told, and that's what 99.999% of the lawyers in America today believe.
So they cower after the ruling. So they all know to cower with after a ruling.
Yeah.
Wow.
This has been a very informative show, as usual.
Thank you.
Because I get so much information out of you, Publius, and I have to confess that whenever I need to look something up, I go to your website.
Oh,
and I look it up because I know you're going to tell it like it is. And you've got the information there, and that's where I go.
And note that I've got an Ask Questions page, so anybody who wants to can ask a question about the Constitution on my website. If I could suggest three papers, really two papers, for everyone listening to read. I have a paper on Congress's enumerated powers, and then I have one on the President's enumerated powers. That's really the beginning place to learn the enumerated powers of Congress and the President. And everyone will be shocked to learn how limited the powers are that we delegated to the federal government. The idea was that the federal government would only have jurisdiction over military defense, international commerce, and diplomatic relations. Two, they could control immigration and make the rules for naturalization of new citizens. Three, domestically, they would establish a uniform commercial system, weights and measures, patents and copyrights, a money system based on gold and silver, bankruptcy laws, mail delivery, and some road building. And finally, with some of the amendments to protect certain voting and civil rights. And that's basically all we gave the federal government authority to do. All other powers were retained by the states or the people.
And that was so frustrating, has been so frustrating to me as we watch the Department of Justice sue the states with our money over, say, immigration and different things like they're doing with Alabama and Arizona. It just kind of makes my blood boil because, they're not doing their job. And the states really have the power. And it was just very, very frustrating with this whole thing. So, crazy. And then the Supreme Court to rule in favor of the federal government when, they're supposed to be protecting us and our borders and they're not doing it. And so, therefore, we can't do it ourselves. Really, very frustrating with that.
I have a paper on that, about the Arizona invasion. I wrote this paper several years ago on that precise issue. I showed that since the federal government is required by Article 4, Section 4, to protect the states from invasion, and since Article 1, Section 8, Clause 15 authorizes Congress to call up the militia to repel the invasions, but they're refusing to do it, then Arizona has the right to do it herself.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And it's clear.
It's just common sense. Really, when you think about it. And then I don't know how people don't understand, because they seem to think that when the government spends money, I don't know where they think they're getting this money. Like it's just growing on trees, because that money is our money. It's the people's money that we are paying.
Yes. And your
grandchildren.
Will pay back $17 trillion.
And our great-grandchildren and on,
yes.
It's just crazy, crazy. So really great to have you on and to have some clarification on this. And really want to direct people, you know, to your site. And if, you know, if you don't want to read all the Federalist Papers, Publius has great articles on her site, and I posted the link several times. So
thanks.
It's very good to have the latest information on this spying, all in the name of national security, because, you know, it kind of, that's what they use, I guess, to scare tactics, maybe, to help people fall in line.
Oh, well, a number of people, you see them on Fox News, are falling for that stupid lie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I won't name names, but you watch them on Fox News, it makes me sick.
Yeah.
The people who are supposed to be on our side babbling about how will they have to do it for national security. Don't you know about East Germany? Don't you know about the former Soviet Union? Have you ever heard of the Stasi, the KGB?
And the other thing, too, that gets my goat big time is we already have laws on the books, and they're not being enforced.
Right.
And that's, I've actually, for the past few days, I've been tweeting every senator that I have a Twitter for and every House member. There's already laws on the books, and enforce the current laws. Because adding new laws and new amendments and blah, blah, blah is not going to solve the problem. We've got to enforce what we have. And the states as well will. Arizona, that's got me, it's got my panties in a knot too, because that just drives me crazy how they just, the federal government's fighting with them. And actually, oh, the other thing, and my mind's just racing now that we have you on I have you on the phone, because what is coming up is the Supreme Court, I'm pretty sure it is, with the recess appointee that Obama did. So the first judges said, you know, it was unconstitutional, he couldn't do it, and of course Obama and friends are fighting it. So if that happens and it gets overturned to say that it was okay, that's going to be a problem as well.
Yeah, the lower court decision is correct. The president's power to make recess appointments, the Constitution is very clear.
Right.
He only has that power to make temporary appointments to fill vacancies which occur when Congress is out of session. It can't be a vacancy that's been around for a long time, and then Congress is in recess, and then the president swoops down in and makes a recess appointment.
Right.
He's circumventing the Constitution. The whole purpose of the constitutional scheme is this. The president makes the appointments, the nominations, and then the Senate is supposed to be a check on that nominating power. So the Senate is supposed to determine for itself whether the president's nominee is fit for office. So the Constitution shares the power of making appointments between the president, who makes the nomination, and then the Senate, who determines whether the candidate is fit and qualified for office. That's the constitutional scheme. Obama wanted to circumvent that constitutional scheme and avoid the check which the Constitution says the Senate is to provide. Now, what are those morons on the U.S. Supreme Court going to do? I have no idea. You can't count on them to do the right thing.
Right.
Even no, though, absolutely
I
not.
I told you. I mean, it's simple.
And the other thing that seems pretty unconstitutional to me, however, I have not seen it anywhere in the Constitution, but A union is a special interest group.
Mm-hmm.
And the special interest group is now federal employees such as the IRS.
Yes.
How can we get rid of that? Do we have anything within the Federalist Papers or the Constitution that says that this is just so wrong?
Are you talking about the abuses going on in the IRS right now?
Well, the abuse, but not many people knew that the union, the labor
that
union,
the IRS people were unionized.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, Congress is supposed to exercise oversight authority over the federal executive agencies. Congress has the power to impeach, try, convict, and remove from office anybody in the executive branch and anybody in the federal judicial branch who usurps powers, violates their oath of office, commits any type of political offense. But we send thugs, thieves, and dishonest people to Congress. We, the people, have been electing very bad people to send to Congress and to the House. So when you elect immoral people, you can't expect them to do the right thing. So really, it all comes down to us. We, the people, have been very sloppy in the people we elected.
Right.
Some of that, too, has been, I think, in the propaganda machine, and we have been negligent in paying attention to what's going on behind the scenes. You know, we watch the news,
right,
and we think we're filled in on what's going on when that's not the truth of the matter at all. And
right.
We
have been negligent.
Yes, I think that's...
We let the federal government get... We let it get too big.
Too big and too much money in one place and too many special interest groups, you know. And this was a way to, they used the IRS to shut down the voice of the people who were saying enough is enough, no taxation without representation. And that's what is so scary
and frustrating.
Frustrating. That, you know, where do we go next if they're going to use these kind of tactics and get away with it, you know? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody has any questions, give us a call, 718-305-7176. This has been absolutely wonderfully informative.
Thank you.
Show tonight. No, thank you. I love you. I saw that you're coming to North Carolina in October, that you're on a schedule here, and I'm really excited.
Is that October? Yes, it is October. I'm speaking at the 10th Amendment Center at the Nullification Rally in Raleigh.
Yes, ma'am, and I will be up there, and I will meet you.
Great.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, well, I hope everybody in North Carolina goes. The people need to learn about nullification, and it's very important because they're getting so much misinformation about nullification from people such as Law Professor Randy Barnett, the Heritage Foundation, David Barton, and a bunch of other academics are saying things about nullification which are demonstrably false. I have a paper on my website. It's called James Madison Rebukes Nullification Deniers. I prove that the things that Randy Barnett, the Heritage Foundation, David Barton, and others are saying about nullification is wrong. They're saying that the states don't have the power to do it. But our framers said they do, and I prove it. James Madison rebukes nullification deniers. I want everybody to read it.
And it's
anyway,
under nullification by state?
Well, if they just title, if you just
deniers.
Put stuff for James Madison rebukes nullification deniers, you'll get it.
Okay.
Or just, you know, go to my website and look under nullification. I've got a number of articles on nullification.
Yes. Okay, I got it.
Because, you know, basically, that's what the states need to do. They need to start nullifying all this stuff, just saying we won't comply. And remember, our framers said it's a natural right of self-defense.
But, yeah, and then it goes back to Arizona, because the state's saying we're not going to follow your, we're not going to follow these new laws because it's not constitutional. We're going to follow these laws, which is constitutional. And the federal government comes in and says, well, you can't do that. And they take it to court, and the state loses.
Well, this is where, you know, James Madison specifically said that the states have the power to nullify acts of the Supreme Court just as much as they have the power to nullify acts of Congress or orders of the president. Now, one of my next papers is going to be about the Supreme Court opinion that was just issued about a week ago in Arizona's Proposition 200 case. That's
right.
The case where Arizona passed a law saying anybody who wants to register to vote in Arizona has to provide proof of citizenship. Now,
mm-hmm.
That's reasonable, don't you think?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that case went before the Ninth Circuit, and that silly woman, Sandra Day O'Connor, who, you know, used to be on the Supreme Court, but now she's sort of semi-retired, and she was filling in on the Ninth Circuit. She and one other woman judge, you know, they gave women lawyers a bad name, those two birds. Anyway, they said that Arizona can't impose a requirement that registrants for that people seeking to register to vote provide proof of citizenship because the federal Voting Rights Act doesn't require them to provide proof of citizenship, and the states can't require more than what the federal government requires. And the Supreme Court just affirmed that. Well, that's blatantly false. Article 1, Section 2, Clause 1 of our Constitution recognizes that the states decide who is qualified to vote. The states have always had the power to decide who is qualified to vote. Later on, four amendments prohibited the states from denying the vote to persons on account of race, 15th Amendment, sex, 19th Amendment, failure to pay a tax, 24th Amendment, and citizens who were 18 years, 26th Amendment. But other than that, the states still have retained full authority to determine who is qualified to vote. So the Supreme Court opinion is blatantly false. It is a lie.
Wow.
I'll write a paper on that, on the Supreme Court's opinion.
Yeah, because that was that just didn't make any sense to me, because it's like, really? Really? We don't have to prove we're a citizen to vote because the federal government didn't say so? No. I mean, even here in Indiana, here's what's crazy. In Indiana, to get your learner's permit, to drive, you have to have a birth certificate, social security number, two pieces of information that have your address on it, and one other photo ID. Now, I suppose because in Indiana, we just comply, we don't really care. We provide that information. Nobody's taking it to the federal court. Are they going to tell us that Indiana can't require that to get your driver's license, you have to provide your birth certificate? and your Social Security number? I don't know. I just didn't make any sense, that ruling by the Supreme Court. Crazy.
Because North Carolina right now is, it's, I don't know if it's even in the House or Senate at this point in time, but I know it's on the table as a to-do list. Is voter ID here in North Carolina, and
it's coming through now because of the ruling today. unless Congress writes a new law, and I hope they will not. Well, the House won't go along with it.
But
I hope.
Congress really has no constitutional authority to interfere in this matter, except for. If the states are trying to say, okay, no black people can vote or no women can vote,
right,
then the federal government has jurisdiction to intervene. But
right.
as long as the states are not denying anybody the right to vote on account of race, sex, failure to pay a tax, or being under 21, then the federal government has no jurisdiction to interfere.
Right,
and
yeah.
And the states should just say, you don't have any authority over this. You got lost.
Right.
Well, see,
but
you know, in the Civil Rights Act, they had these southern states because of past voting records. You know, and we're not living in the 21st century, obviously,
right.
in the federal government. You know, because they still think that we're going to stop somebody. If you live in Texas or Alabama, from actually going to the polls and voting because of their color, which
I read the Supreme Court opinion that came out today on that, I'll read it as soon as I can. But apparently, the Supreme Court actually might have done something partly right.
Yes, I think so.
In the case they issued today, so we should put this on our calendar.
Yeah.
Did something that was partly right today.
Yes.
Yeah.
I,
you know, most of us are boasting and jumping up and down, saying, "Yay, finally!" And
yeah.
you know, then there's the Reverend who, oh gosh, I can't even think of his name, Sharpton, who's crying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, for some reason this is going to be bad for black people. But, you know, it's like this is not – we don't need this anymore. If we have true equality, you don't need these kind of laws on the book, and you don't need to be telling the states what they have to do.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, everybody, this is kind of your last chance. Anybody want to call in, have questions, 718-305-7176. We're on for about 22 more minutes.
And let's just take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Real women, real ladies with real smarts. You're listening to Women Patriots on ConservativeNationRadio.org. We do conservatism right.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the3rdlantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
And you're back with Women Patriots on Conservative Nation Radio. The number to call is 718-305-7176. And we do have Publius Holda, who is a constitutional lawyer, constitutional scholar, and an expert as far as the Federalist Papers and the Constitution. And we were so pleased that you were able to join us tonight and actually share the information on the Fourth Amendment. And we talked about the Tenth Amendment with us, and hopefully give some information out to our viewers that they can use when they're talking to other people who don't necessarily haven't read the Constitution or, you know, don't understand, you know, what's been happening in this country. So,
well, ladies, I've enjoyed it very much, but I need to run.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for the time that you did give us, and feel free anytime to just drop in and if you've got something on your mind.
Well, thank you. I'm
looking forward to your next article, too.
Well, it's about the Parental Rights Amendment. That is the worst idea since sin. Basically, it transfers power over the parent-child relationship to the federal government. There has been a bill in the North Carolina legislature this year. The House approved it. The Senate, fortunately, people in the Senate have some degree of wisdom, and they've agreed to study it. But I'll get my paper out on that in a few days. And I'll let you ladies know about it so that you can get it to the people in the House who voted for this. It is literally the worst idea since sin.
Oh, yes. It's a trick.
It's a nasty trick. Parents are being told that this will protect their parental rights. It does the exact opposite.
Wow. That sounds like something we nearly really... Yeah.
Yeah.
We really need to get that information out there. Yeah, to people so that they can read it and understand. Because they do that to us all the time. You know, tell us one thing and it does exactly the opposite.
Yes, thank you.
The
exact opposite. Well, I enjoyed it, ladies, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. Lovely.
And we look forward to that article. Be sure and drop Barbara a line when you get that so we can push that out to people, because that sounds like something we really need to be watching for. So thanks again. And
thank
if you're out
so
there
much.
Listening... Give us a call, 718-305-7176. We got a few minutes here to wrap this up this evening, but that was Publius Holda, and she has her website. I posted that link several times, and it's Publius Holda, WordPress.com, right, Barbara.com?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And great articles that she's already written on a lot of the issues of the day, where you can just click on it and you can have all the information you need there from the from the Constitution itself and from the Federalist Papers as to, you know, what's not right constitutionally about those things. So no excuse not to be informed, you know, if you're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. Being uninformed is not an excuse. So,
Not anymore.
ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to welcome Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance to our lineup on Mondays. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennesseans are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veteran insights and some of the most informed guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Go ahead, Barbara. You were going to say something there.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember.
I interrupted your thought processes.
I don't know. I'm in awe of Publius because she, you know, I've said it a bunch of times already, you know, knowledge is power. And that woman has the power because she has the knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
And I admire her. I admire that so much.
Oh, yeah. So and for her to be standing up and speaking out against all these un-American. What else do you call them when they're anti-constitutional rulings and anti-constitutional bills? I mean, what do you call them but un-American?
Yeah.
And she's standing up and saying, whoa, 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 this is not what our founding fathers, the people who founded this country, who allowed us the freedoms to become the great country we are. We're watching those freedoms erode day by day, you know, with this spying and taking, you know, tapping. Instead of, you know, heaven forbid that we racial profile or we profile by, you know, because, you know, Muslims are the ones creating the terrorism. We can't just focus on them. We have to tap the phone lines of all Americans and then use that against them. I mean, this is all in the name of national security, as Publius pointed out, was also happened in Germany and in Russia. Thoughts to think on as you try to justify spying on everyone and drones
you know,
in the air
laws.
And failure to protect our borders and wanting to legalize illegal immigrants. And they are illegal immigrants. They're not, you know, undocumented, nothing. They're illegal. They broke the law. They're criminals. Okay.
And that's what gets me. They're right off the bat allowing criminals in this country.
They're
and,
rewarding.
You know, a lot of them are saying they're not criminals. They are criminals. The moment that they came over the border illegally, they became criminals.
Why don't you go break into the 7-Eleven and see what you get labeled?
Well, you know, I said this on another show because on my way to Florida this past weekend, I was listening to a radio station, and I don't even know where. I was in South Carolina somewhere, and a caller called in and said, what we're doing, it's like you go to a movie theater, and you sneak into the movie theater, and they give you a ticket and say, oh, it's okay that you got in for free. Here's a ticket for another time to come in.
Yeah.
You know,
and
that's basically what, that's in simplified terms is exactly what the government's doing.
If you go over to Mexico without proper documentation, you're going to be arrested.
If you go to Mexico and they don't like the way you look, they don't let you
arrested.
In the country. They won't let you in their country.
They just had a mother arrested in jail for some reason, and they've had some of our military guys arrested because, but you come here illegally, you break in. Sometimes they go over fences. Sometimes they just cross deserts and avoid the border security. They know it's illegal. That's why we have border security trying to stop them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make it, you're fine. You're
but
here
border
to stay.
Security
we're gonna,
is not allowed
we're
to stop
reward
them anymore.
You for that behavior. Now, I understand these people live in poverty, but here's a novel idea. Let Mexico work on its own people about getting them jobs. And constructing a country that can survive on its own, like we did here in America. America wasn't this great industrial country when our founding fathers came here. The people made it the country that it is today. And we are not helping Mexico. You know, we're not helping them in the long term. And it's always going to be a problem until the people of Mexico stand up and say, we want jobs and we want them here. I mean, this is just insane. It's just insane.
But why are they going to do that when America is giving?
Oh, they're not.
Commercializing food stamps. Come to America,
and
get food stamps.
Oh, and here's
how
here's
to do it.
Yeah, here we're reporting Mexico is concerned about U.S. bid to beef up border security. Wow. I care. You know, like, we should care that Mexico is concerned that we're beefing up security. Yeah. Well, you won't take care of the problem, then we need to. So, and we, I think we have Duke right here, so let's bring him on. Maybe. Hey!
Barbara.
Mr. Brooks.
And hello, Brenda. How are you doing tonight?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Well, other than the fact that after that ridiculous vote today by those turncoats like John McCain, my book is boiling, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, I've come to the conclusion that these people who have been in the Senate for 25 years, 35 years, I think John McCain was the first senator from Arizona when Arizona became a state in 1913, wasn't he? I think he's been a U.S. senator from Arizona for 100 years now, right?
Well,
you know,
he thinks he's been there 200 years because he's trying to tell them that's not how they've been doing it for 200 years.
Yeah, he actually looks like it, too. Well, yeah. I didn't say that out loud, did I?
I think the idea that the citizens of Arizona are going to try to recall him and that other foolish Republican out there, you know, John McCain, when he's in Washington, he votes like a liberal. When he's back home in Arizona, he talks like Barry Goldwater. It's just ridiculous, but I digress. Anyway, tomorrow night on Radio Free America, inspired in part by your excellent conversation with Publius Holda a short while ago, we're going to be talking a little bit about the U.S. Constitution. We'll certainly be speaking a little bit about U.S. history. We are about 1 week away from the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg, which was the largest battle ever fought in the Western Hemisphere, and obviously was a turning point of the Civil War. Very, very important time and event in U.S. history, no question about it. And we'll be talking a little bit about flying and some of the other, I mean, who knows what craziness is going to be coming out of Washington, D.C., in the next approximately 20 hours until I go on the air. So I'm just going to be keeping my ear to the ground to see what comes next from those clowns down there. And we'll also be talking a little bit about flying. I had a request from somebody the other day to fill people in on how a helicopter actually works, and that is a subject with which I am very, very well and truly familiar. So it should be another interesting evening of freewheeling conservative conversation. Everybody's phone calls and the normal kind of running of this asylum by the inmates that everyone has come to know and love from Radio Free America. That is tomorrow night right here on conservativenationradio.org, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Radio Free America is real conservatism for real conservatives.
Awesome, Duke. Sounds good.
Thank you.
So anybody out there, you should be sure and tune in tomorrow night. We've got some more good lineups coming. So you hear it here on conservativenationradio.org. So we got about 6 minutes left. You got something to say? Give us a call, 718-305-7176. Barbara, do we have a guest for next week?
We do have a guest for next week. And he's actually one that I just got, Evan Sayet. He's a spokesperson. Well, he actually speaks, and he has spoken at the Heritage Foundation. And he is definitely one of us and not one of them, and he speaks it. I actually was introduced to him last night, and I went and I listened to some of his videos of his speaking with the Heritage Foundation and was reading a little bit about him, and I'm really excited. It's going to be another awesome show next week, so be sure to join in next week, and he'll be calling in approximately the same time, about 7:15, and we will just, you know, there's just so much that goes on in the news every day, and it's really hard to keep up with everything that goes on.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
We just know that there's going to be a lot to talk about. And then the following week we have Dan Bongino coming on, and he was he's the ex Secret Service agent who is also a gun activist running for Congress in his district in the Washington area. So we've got some action packed shows coming up.
Sounds good. Sounds good. We'll just take this out here for anybody, you know, who's really paying attention. The IRS credit cards were used for wine, pornography, and this is a report from the IG.
Yeah, I read that earlier.
Lovely. As if it isn't bad enough on our tax dollars.
I know. The thing that gets me is the $70 million bonus.
Yeah, that they're getting. They're getting $70 million bonus, people, the IRS. And they use their credit cards for pornography and wine while we are paying their salaries and they are part of a union. Now, here's what we do to fix that. We get a fair tax. It's time to revise the tax code. It's time to go to a fair tax. Fair tax is a consumption tax, so the more you buy, the more you pay. So this ought to help those who say the wealthy should pay more, because they will absolutely pay more. And guess what? It will encourage businesses to thrive, so it will create jobs. And the best part is it gets rid of the IRS, and that saves us money. So
I'll
if you're listening out there, you need to be letting your senators and your congressmen know that you want a fair tax. Now, some of you might prefer a flat tax. I don't care. Flat there. Give me something that we don't have. We don't need this, you know, huge tax code that just allows people to get all around it that can afford to and actually puts the burden on the middle class. Fair tax actually is a decent tax because everybody pays as their ability to pay. And it will create jobs. So, but I know some people prefer flat tax. I just want them to do away with the IRS because bullies, that's what they were, bullies. They bullied the right-wing conservatives so that Obama could maintain his advantage and maintain his control in the Senate. They bullied them for political purposes. And this is not the first instance of this happening, and I don't think the Democrats are the only party. But if you don't have them to use, then you can't use them in such a manner, and they can't bully property tax owners, you know, come after you and threaten to take your home and stuff when, you know, taxation is illegal. I mean, it's unconstitutional. But I'm sorry. Off on another tangent run.
I get that in the New York Minute, girlfriend. You know, just bring up something.
Yeah. So, you know, well, you know, that just kind of irks. Yeah. Sorry. IRS needs to go bye-bye. It's time for the people to take back this country. We shouldn't have to. I mean, we pay way too many taxes. Once you buy your house and your property, you shouldn't be paying property tax. The government, local or federal, should not be able to take your land away because you're not paying them money to keep the land that you bought in the first place and that you paid for. Your hard
right.
And that's what I've got to say about that.
Well, I also want to remind everybody, you know, of the Federalist Papers, we basically really have nowhere else to turn at this point because our senators and congressmen have sold us out. What else can we do besides elect new officials up there? But what's that going to do? You know, they're going to be blackmailed or threatened as well. So what we really need to do is read the Federalist Papers that Publius had strongly suggested we read for the resistance of what the government is doing. Federalist Paper number 46 and Federalist Paper number 28. That will have some good information in there as to what we the people, when we don't know what to do, what we can do.
We're going off the air real quick, so I just want to say thank you for listening. Hate to cut you short, but we're going off, and thanks everybody, and tune in next week. So,
good night, everyone.
Good night. I'm going to jump that just a little bit. My computer is on a delay, I think. So sorry for interrupting you, Barbara.
Yeah,
it was like mine said 3 seconds. I don't know what you said. So, hey, have a good one.